Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Garrett McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you here. We're live at 3rd and Home, First Horizon Park.
Sound and what are we doing when that song
home
plays?
Opener. And that's what I was going to say. Like, honestly, if you've been in this town more than 5 minutes or 5 years, and you hear that song, there's our next guest is the only person you could think of, right?
And my arms automatically go into a shape of a V.
Like, you just immediately go to our next guest.
That's right. I wonder if he ever listens to that anymore, if he just heard it so much that he just can't listen
well,
to it.
Well, and let's find out what the reaction is when Thomas hears that song. Thomas, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank
you. Do you feel the same way we do whenever you hear that song?
Yeah, it's in very distant memory, but I still feel when I heard that song, I think of definitely of Nashville.
It's embedded in our brains, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, like those, it's like one of those songs when you start singing in a car and get it out of your head. So
it was a pretty special night here last night. Pecorine pitching the shutout, his 60th career shutout, doing a lap around for the fans. His teammates were all on the bench. Really, really special night. You've been watching from afar. One, the turnaround of this team, a tale of two halves of a season, and just seeing kind of Pekka's performance last night. And, you know, we don't know what it means, but, you know, where this is going from here. But it was just yet again, just in a long list of lasting memories in Bridgestone Arena. One of them was again last night. If you were in the house, it'll be something you'll remember forever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously still follow hockey, so, I regularly must say. So, you know, I kind of was, on my phone checking last night, and I always, you know, the teams you play for, kind of you always check on them, and I saw he was playing, and I'm sure it was very special. I mean, obviously, we don't want to make any judgment on, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, that's for Pekka to decide, obviously, going forward. But, whatever happens, I think it was a great night for him. And, you know, coming back and playing a game and they winning, obviously getting a shutout and all that. So we'll see where it goes in the future. But obviously, if that was his, last game in the regular season for Nashville, it's, it reflects on his career that he had as a player there, and, you know, amazing career as a goalie and playing, you know, 15 years for the same team. And it's, especially in these days, it's very special.
We're talking to Thomas Vokoun. And, of course, for those that are maybe a little newer to Nashville, we've made the point a few times how popular Pecorine is with the fans. If you were to do a list, there's no question in my mind that Thomas Vokoun would be on this list as well. So, Thomas, you know what it's like just when you really have the fans behind you, and there's sort of an emotional attachment that grows. And you could see Pekka, he was feeling that last night, right? He was reflecting on it after the game. As you look back on that, it was such a unique time. You got a brand new franchise. The fans are just trying to figure out, you know, having a hockey team, what the game is all about. So as you look back, what's that like when you sort of make that connection?
I mean, it's special because as a player, I mean, you know, you have to build it over time, and obviously, you know, just the nature of professional sports, players come and go. And, you know, I would say probably 98% of the players will never have that connection with the fans, you know, or stay in a team for, you know, long enough or be under circumstances where something like that can develop. And, when obviously when I was in Nashville, I felt like the fans, you know, appreciate what I did and how I play and all that. And obviously, you know, Pekka is a whole nother level. I mean, he played his whole career for, you know, for one team, and you know, not just play. I mean, he, you know, he's a great member of the community. Did a lot of stuff away from hockey. You know, a lot of people get a lot of appreciations, and you know, deservedly so. He's I would say probably the most popular player that ever played for Nashville. So you know, it was well deserved, and you know, I'm sure that was the reason why he felt that way, and it was very emotional for him. So
what was it like for you, Thomas? I'm just looking at your stats here, and I kind of realized this, but I wasn't sure. But the most playoff games you ever played was your absolute last year in the league with Pittsburgh on a nice run you guys made there. But, you know, Pekka's got to decide going forward here, you know, what does he want his role to be? Could he enter a season as the clear backup? So what was that process like for you? Because most of your career, as you ascended, you became an every-night starter. Would that have been a tough adjustment for you? You were sort of in some different roles, but you still started your share of games pretty much every year you were in the league.
Be honest with you, I really enjoy it. I mean, I was on a great team, you know, my last 2 years, and I had a lot of fun. I mean, it's a little bit different mindset, but I think it actually makes it easier, you know, when you did start before and you know, you come up there with the age and all that, and you know, you don't have that, you know, always like in back of your mind, okay, I got to get another, you know, like I got to play a lot of games, I got to get another contract and all that. And once you kind of get past that and you're kind of happy where you are, I mean, I really enjoy it. And I mean, you know, just by looking at him, the way he plays, and obviously health is one of the deciding factors for any player, especially in a position like, you know, like a goaltender. It's very key, you know, getting older and, you know, hips and knees and back and stuff like that. But, you know, I think he can easily play a few more years. And I cannot speak for him. Obviously, we're all different and we kind of, you know, look at things a little bit differently, each of us. But I enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed being part of the team and, you know, kind of have the kind of little bit of the pressure being lifted off my kind of shoulders and just being the guy who's there for the guys when they need him and support the other goalie. And at the end, it kind of turned out like I end up playing in playoffs and all that. So you kind of never know what can happen. And, you know, I really, really enjoyed it the last 2 years I played. So
when you first saw Pekka Rinne, you guys intersected just a small amount. You were, you know, at the height of your career, he was a youngster. For the most part, he might have made a quick cameo appearance, I think, 1 year when you were playing. But in training camp and stuff, what did you notice about him? When did you first notice him?
Well, that's really easy, how tall he is. And
like, who's this guy?
You know,
look at this guy.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God. And quite frankly, actually, first time I ever see Pekka was when I was playing for in Finnish league during the 2004, you know, lockout, and
yeah.
He was playing for Karpat Oulu, and I was playing in Helsinki, and you know, we went up there, and it's far, far, far up north, you know, and we're skating around in a pregame skate, and I look at the other goalie and I'm like, oh my God, this guy is huge. And they're like, yeah, he just got drafted to Nashville. I was like, damn. So, you know, I obviously, you know, and then I saw him, he was in Nashville, I think for at least a couple of years in a system when I was there before I left. And, you know, I met Pekka, you know, a few times, I mean, during those 2 years, and, you know, very high quality individual, and you know, people always say that kind of thing. But like, you know, we all know like he's awesome guy. Always was a great teammate and team guy and all that. So, you know, like I said, great career, not just on the ice, but even off the ice. And you know, he did a lot of good things, and I think that's why, you know, that's why he's so popular, and, you know, the fans love him in Nashville. So
we're talking to Thomas Vokoun, former Predators goaltender. And Thomas, you know, one thing that you and Pekka have in common is very early in your careers, when you got to Nashville, you got to work with Mitch Korn, the longtime goaltending coach here in Nashville. How much did Mitch, you know, make you refine some of your skills that, you know, Pekka was able to do as well? But how much did Mitch influence you early in your career?
I mean, he did tremendously because, you know, he's very unorthodox the way he coaches goalies. And, you know, obviously people who know Mitch just by looking at him, and you would never think he would be a goalie coach. And he has this, I think the best part about him, he's like, he has a good eye for, you know, what your strengths are. And he very, you know, he encourages you sometimes, even like, you know, because there are always these tides and like how the goalies play. Okay, now the goalies play this way or that way, or, you know, more stand up or more, you know, in butterfly and all these things. And, you know, he's always open-minded about all things, and he kind of helps you to choose the, you know, the best possible way. And I think it comes from when he was the coach in Buffalo and he was coaching Dominik Hašek, who was like so unorthodox but so unbelievably good. It kind of showed him, you know, like there's many different ways you can play and be successful, but at the end of the day, the only thing it matters, it's not how you look or what people say about it, but it's how much you stop the puck. And I think that's one of his biggest strengths. He very focuses on that. And, you know, not necessarily Pekarina is going to play like Thomas Vokoun, where, you know, I'm, you know, 5 foot, you know, 5 foot 11 and he's, you know, 6 foot five. So, you know, he helps you to kind of understand who you are and what you're good at, and, you know, even what your weaknesses are and what to do about them, and so you could be successful.
You say you keep up with things going on, especially your former team. So what do you see out of UC Saros as he has now become the go-to, the number one here in Nashville?
I mean, unbelievable season. I saw he was struggling at the beginning. I mean, it's always kind of difficult. You know, there's a lot of, you know, things in your career which are difficult. And becoming from kind of being the backup to the starter and having that pressure on yourself, sometimes it's tough too. So, you know, I think, and, you know, there's been a couple of years in Nashville, people will start talking, okay, now they're going to share, and, you know, it's going to become more and more like UC's team and stuff like that, but it haven't happened. And this year he was kind of like forced into it at the start and kind of a little bit struggle, and then he came back, and I mean, I would even argue he was probably, you know, definitely in top three goalies in the league. And, you know, if you take that first, you know, first month away from, you know, in a season out. But, you know, I think he find, you know, he's got all the tools. And, you know, what I like, even you can see size-wise, smaller goalie, but just because his athletic ability and skating ability and, you know, like, obviously the way he reads the game and all that and hockey IQ. I mean, I think he turned the corner and got that confidence. Yes, I can do it, and, you know, I can be successful night in, night out, and just believing kind of in his game and, you know, on a regular basis. And, you know, he had a great season. I mean, I think he's, you know, one of the reasons Nashville turned the season around and you know, made the playoffs.
You mentioned the struggles that he had at the beginning of the season, and, you know, sometimes when you get into a funk like that or a bad stretch, it can be mental, because so much of your position, you rely on the mental game. So what were some things that you did to kind of to help with the mental side and not just the physical side?
You know, it's, if, for me, I mean, it was to relax and kind of let things happen and enjoy the game and, you know, don't take it so seriously and don't, you know, if you fail, don't think it's like the end of the, you know, end of your career and all that. So it's, you know, we're all, like I said, just like the way we play, you know, how our brain process things are all different. You know, some people are more relaxed and they're more kind of laid back and they just kind of go with the punches, and some people are more intense. And you know, I don't know Yusuf personally, so I don't know, you know, what his kind of mental makeup is. But, you know, for me, it was just, you know, and those things also happen. You need success, right? So once you get in and you have a good game to try to build on that, and things kind of, you know, things kind of open up and all that. But obviously it's easier kind of said than done. And if you're in that moment and you've been waiting for your, you know, for your chance for a long time, and all of a sudden it's there and it doesn't go the way you kind of picture. But on the other hand, it could be a good thing too, because it builds characters that you understand, you always have to work and all that. And, I think it was great for him. He has Pekka as an older goalie who been there himself, and obviously they have a great relationship, and he can help him. And, you know, Pekka is the kind of guy who helps the other goalie. He's not there, you know, they compete, obviously it's always competition and they both want to play and all that, but you know, he's the kind of person that's not gonna try to, you know, hurt the other goalie or make it a situation where it's hurting the team or whatever. So and that's honestly one of the things, the reasons why I think, like, I mean, for him, it's like, it's definitely his decision. He has to know his body and all that. But I don't think for Nashville, I be honest with you, I don't really follow, you know, how they're up and coming goalies, what the pipeline is like, who they have, like young goalies and all that. But I think if Pekka wants to play, he can easily play, you know, next year again. Obviously, with this season being kind of unusual season with no fans and or limited fans and all that, so we'll see what the future holds. But I think right now, you see, obviously, it's the clear-cut main guy, and he's been playing really well.
You're always nice to do this, and we really appreciate that. And by the way, you're still a fan favorite here in Nashville. I think you know that. And thanks for doing this, Thomas. We will certainly talk to you down the road, okay? Have a great rest of your day.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great... Bye-bye.
That is Thomas Vokoun. Man, he is awesome. Love when he comes on. We appreciate him doing that.
Great perspective. How about that story about meeting Pekka in Finland before, right as Pekka was drafted? We drafted that guy?
No, his exact words were, damn. The fun fact
that guy is huge.
Fun fact that I looked up and it popped in my head. Every team that Thomas Vokoun played for is in the playoffs.
Okay.
Florida, Pittsburgh, Nashville.
You know, take a look at his
You're
stats.
You're missing two.
Florida, Pittsburgh, Nashville. I'm missing two?
Mm-hmm. Now he played in one game in one of these with one of these teams.
Oh, didn't he play like a game for the Capitals?
Well, no, you have him. That is one team, but Montreal. He only played one game for Montreal before he came to Nashville.
One period of one game,
yes.
And it did not go very well.
It did not go well. He had a 7.14 save percentage and a 12 GAA.
And probably somebody in Montreal said that guy's done. His career's done.
Well, like he's told the story.
Kind of like Devin Dubnyk here.
Well, that was.
I was like, that guy's done.
That's actually true. No, he's told that story. We had him on Smashville Live, and he talked about that. And there were things that he needed to do better to make it to the NHL. And so it was 2 years later, and Nashville had gotten him. Was he the expansion draft?
What year
that's the story.
Montreal
was
96-97.
96-97. So the expansion draft takes place the next year. He's one of a number of goalies in Montreal's chain. And Montreal basically had another guy, and I don't remember the guy, but they were like, we don't want you to take this guy. So would you take – we'll give you Vokoun if you don't take this other guy. So – in other words, you'll get two guys.
Yeah.
And so they got Sebastian Bordalo, who now works with the organization. He's back, one of the original Predators, and they got a bonus in Thomas Vokoun. And so they got a 2-for-1.
That worked out well.
Montreal was like, please, would you please take Vokoun?
Vegas did.
We'll let you have Bortolo if you'll just
look.
Would you please
Vegas
take Vokoun?
Had the same thing happen with the Florida Panthers, and it worked out pretty well. Please,
yep, it really did.
Please take these two.
The underrated part of Thomas Vokoun's career is when he went to Florida, they were bad. But look at his numbers, like goals saved above average. Some of the stats that we see now a little bit more. He was analytically really good, like on a bad team.
And I remember being very impressed with David Poile because he had a big contract. It was like $5 million a year. I was like, who's going to take on this contract? And he got the Florida Panthers to take on that contract.
Yeah, and they got a first-round pick back.
Yes.
And I believe that's the pick they used to get Colin Wilson, I think.
Wasn't he making like five? It was $5 million.
Well, he had
year,
just
right?
signed, unfortunately.
But think about
that's
the
when
time,
the ownership
though.
Change happened, right, and they were right. in a pinch, and
but
David
I'm saying,
Poile,
back
unfortunately.
Then, like
they did not want to trade Thomas Vokoun. They just did not want to do it.
It was what
ordered.
Was going on here?
It was yeah. ordered.
What was going yeah. on here? All right, let me talk about the big names that are headlining. UFC 262 this weekend. Yeah, that's right, the card. Tony Ferguson, Michael Chandler. There will be no shortage of action. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Do I have your attention now? I would hope so. All you have to do is pick one of the fighters that will be walking away with the belt. That's right. One of them is going to walk away with the belt. And if you choose the right one, you're going to win some cash. Just pick the main event fighter that you think will win. DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds on that fighter. So, in other words, you just bet $1 of your money, pick the fighter to win, and if they win, you win $100. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to put your money where your mouth is, and that's with DraftKings Sportsbook. Don't worry. If mixed martial arts isn't for you, DraftKings Sportsbook offers great odds and promotions on basketball, hockey, and so much more. It's safe, secure, reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. But all you have to do is just go download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, turn $1 into $100, and all you have to do is bet on the main card fighter to win. Place your bet, watch the fist fly this weekend. Use that code again, 1025GAME, and you've got an opportunity to get 100-1 odds. Turn $1 into $100. This is for a limited time. Only a DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.